Did you know you can save up to 70% on the best brands just by shopping at FromRebel.com? We're talking about strollers, car seats, high chairs, espresso machines, cookware, everything you need for way less. Here's how it works. Every single day, Rebel drops thousands of new products on the site for up to 70% off. It is a constant stream of endless deals from top brands like Upa Baby, Nuna, Baby Bjorn, Breville, Nespresso, KitchenAid, Le Creuset, and more. But you have to act fast because every deal is one of a kind. So if you see something you love, make sure you add to cart fast. So stop paying full price when you don't have to. Whether it's baby gear, kitchen upgrades, or a treasure for your home you didn't know you needed, Rebel has it for way less, up to 70% less. Shop from Rebel.com and save big.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome back to the WTF1 podcast with myself, Hayden Gullis, and of course, the incredible Amber Jones, who took over from me last week as I was away on holiday. But we're back, and it's going to be the two of us discussing the Spanish Grand Prix at the Circuit de Barcelona, Catalunya. Amber, what did you rate that race? What did you think of it?
Oh, I thought it was a stunning race. F1, each race weekend is just getting better and better because we're seeing those battles now, and that's what I live for. The Russell-Norris battles, or is it Norris-Verstappen? Is it the two Ferraris going at each other? Honestly, this is what I'm living for. We want to see some on-track action. We didn't really have it at the start of the season, and then each week, it's just given. So for me, this was a top-tier race. Yes, it was a Max Verstappen win, but I still think Max is always going to have the upper hand, and it doesn't necessarily mean it's because the Red Bull is its strongest. It's because he is the most poised driver on the grid. He's calm, collected. He knows what to do with that car. He believes in himself. He believes that he can control that car, even if it's not, you know, optimum performance. Max is that top driver that you want in your team because he's going to be standard. That's why I always put Max as P1. So hopefully we won't be having more Max P1s, but that's why he's always at the top of my predictions. But how did you find that, Hayden?
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree with you. It was a good race. It was enjoyable. I think, yeah, slightly anticlimactic in the sense that it was teased and poised for potentially a fight for the race win again at the end, kind of like what we had at Imola. But unfortunately, just was unable to get that close to Max. He was closing, I suppose, in the latter stages, but just not enough laps in the race. And of course, being stuck behind George Russell cost him that as well. But there is a lot of hope for the future that there is going to be maybe not a championship battle on the hands. You know, Verstappen, unless something horribly goes wrong for him, has got like a 50-point lead, 60-point lead over Lando Norris at the moment. But the McLaren and the Red Bull are very similarly matched on pace. They're getting closer to each other. And had it not been for either the poor start from Lando down into turn one or the great start from Russell, or even just that Lando was the one to back off and backed off massively, you know, Verstappen put himself into second place, was able to then close down onto Russell. And then it was a case of, okay, Norris, you've got to get past Russell and not get stuck behind him. If that weren't to happen, who knows what could happen at the front? I reckon we would have had a really, really good fight. And I'm expecting that maybe now, over the rest of the season, not, as I said, for a championship battle, but at least we're going to get battles for the race win, which will make it exciting.
I think so, because I think now it's sort of about, you know, strategy. It's about tyre management. At the start, it was like the Red Bull just have the fastest car. So it doesn't even matter if we get our strategy right or wrong or whatever, the Red Bull is always going to come out on top. But we're not seeing that anymore. That's what I love about the races that we've got now. Because, you know, you look at the Ferraris, they're on two different strategies. Both the strategies didn't really work out for them anyway. Charles was kicking off. Carlos was kicking off. We had loads of battles. The Red Bull, if Norris got it right at the start, potentially, you know, he could have been fighting for that win in the end. But I keep finding, I feel really bad when I say this about Norris, but he needs something to go wrong in the race for him to win, unfortunately. Because, like I say, going back to my first point, Max is just on top form all the time. he does need that safety car. If he had the safety car, or, I mean, people always say, you know, if they went for the undercut and he overtook, you know, the Mercedes and a few other cars, then he could actually then eventually get to Max. Was that a better strategy? No. Max still would have come out on top anyway. You know, Russell was struggling with his tyres. He had high degradation. There's too many things going wrong in his race that he has to worry about. Whereas Max had, you know, a few little struggles. Of course, he's got that tyre management, but he just has it to a T. He knows how to look after the tyres. You know, he was out of the undercut range. He was fine managing those tyres. Things aren't going wrong in his race. So if everyone starts to, you know, catch up a little, if they start to get their strategies right, manage those tyres, maybe we will see some more championship battles. But I think Max has got it, really. And for the constructors as well, I think the Red Bull, you know, they're going to do quite well. But Perez, he really needs to come back on top. He had that grid place penalty. And, you know, he didn't really do that great in this race. And this track is quite hard to overtake. So we understand that. But I think Perez really needs to come out on top now because Max is just performing each week.
Yeah, I think the cars are quite close together. And that's what's making it maybe more difficult for Perez, is that, you know, Verstappen is such an exceptional driver that he is up at the front. Whereas Perez in a similar car is unfortunately at the back end of that, you know, closer top lot of teams, especially in qualifying. It's so close. So, you know, I don't think Perez is a qualifying driver. I think he's more suited towards races, and that's why we always see, okay, qualifying further down, races usually picks up the places, sometimes a lot more than others, other times it's only a few places. But yeah, Sergio Perez just struggling again. It sort of comes down to a case of, you know, was it too early for the contract? Should it have been delayed more so that we had more time to sort of, or they had more time to judge and see Sergio Perez and maybe other options that were available to them? But yeah, unfortunate there for Perez to be down in eighth. I think we are poised for a good battle between Norris and Verstappen, though. I do think that whilst, yes, you're correct with the Miami one, that we'd needed the safety car, it was the only way he was really going to be put into that position to win. I do think that had they played the strategy maybe a little bit better, they would have had a better chance for that race win.
Yeah.
It was kind of dictated in the end. Like they boxed later to give themselves the tyre advantage, closed up the gap, and then Verstappen boxed for softs. And then it was only like one or two laps later that they had to box for softs as well. Otherwise, they were like, okay, if we box any later, we're going to come out behind Russell again or behind Hamilton again. And then our strategy is completely done and we're finishing third or fourth. So, yeah, I just think that the strategy call was right to try and do something to get around Russell, mm-hmm. Which did work, but maybe the undercut could have been a bit better, or just having a slight amount of tyre advantage over Russell and then still having those laps to gain back up. Or even just going, okay, do you know what? We're going to go soft mediums and we're going to take him to the end. We're going to take that gamble. We're going to go for it. And we're going to, if Verstappen catches us and he overtakes us, fair play. Yeah. They've got us. And even if Lewis gets us and overtakes us, fair play. But at least we went for it. At least we went for that race win. And I do think that Piastri could have done a little bit more as the second driver. There were occasions where Verstappen was behind him and Verstappen just overtook him too easy. Make him go around the outside. Mm-hmm. Even if he's going to overtake you around the outside, it's an easy overtake around the outside. At least make him go around the outside. It make was down into turn 4, 5, 6. I think 6 or 7 and 8, the chicane. Piastri kind of moved him over to and blocked the inside line. So it's like, okay, cool, he's got that covered. And then as he went down in towards the corner, he kind of put his car in the middle. So Verstappen was like, okay, cool, I'm just going to outbrake you. I've got the better tyres. I'm going to go up the inside. Mm-hmm. And I just think a little bit better could have been done there from Piastri to work for the team in that sense. Yeah. You know, we saw it Fernando Alonso and Esteban Ocon in Hungary, or Qatar when Ocon was trying to defend from Perez, defending like a lion. And just teams working together for that sort of sense would have compromised Max, even if it was by half a second. Mm-hmm. Half a second can mean a lot in Formula One. So I do think that could have been worked a little bit better. But I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful for the future. I'm hopeful for that we're going to get more battles between these two. And, you know, as long as Norris sorts out the start and doesn't make a mistake there, then I think, you know, those two head-to-head is going to be very exciting.
Yeah.
And I disagree with you in terms of constructors. I do think that we could have a constructors' battle still.
Well, I
do
think that maybe because of Perez. I see that, because obviously Perez isn't really performing, so they're losing points there. But it's just, again, it's just strategy for me. If I believed in all the other team strategies, I'm like, yes, we've got all these different like championship battles going on, drivers and constructors. But I just go into every race like, yes, there's going to be a battle and I'm living for this. And the drama on track is making me so happy. But it's always Max. It's just always Max because of the strategy and because of his driver craft. And like, a lot of the other drivers do make these mistakes. Now we're seeing the Ferraris go head to head with each other. They're both making mistakes there. Ferrari strategy, we all know this. It's a meme. What is going on there? They're going to keep changing the head of strategy and the strategy directors, but it's not changing a thing at Ferrari. And it's sad. Why can't they get that strategy right? And I think now with McLaren, they're in this period of, we know we've got a good car, but we're still playing around with our strategy. Lando's our number one man. We're going to go with him. We can trust him. But they're still not getting the strategy right. And that's why I go back to, we need a safety car. We need something for Norris to win, because he's got the pace. He's an amazing driver. And the car, you know, has got the pace itself. But there's something always going wrong in these other drivers' races, which is really irritating, because I don't want it to be a Max win every single time. But that's what we're seeing. So until these teams fix their strategy, now I'm like, I'm optimistic, but not super optimistic. But I'm just living for the battle. So I'll take that. I'm super happy for that.
On to Ferrari now. Again, slight more disappointment. Not as bad as Canada,
yeah,
where they have the double DNF. But still, you know, off the highs of Monaco and everyone being like, okay, maybe Ferrari is our best bet for a championship challenge. And again, now we come to Spain and They split the strategy on the two of them at the end. Leclerc was on the soft, Sainz was on the hards. Let's see which way this goes. And for either driver, that didn't really work out at all. I mean, they got close to Russell with Leclerc, but that was because, again, Mercedes, I think, got the wrong call there. Went a little bit too early, had to go onto the hards because they needed to use those tyres, or they maybe didn't have any mediums available to them. And it was a bit too early for the softs. And that's why Leclerc caught up to Russell at the end, but was unable to overtake him by the end of the race. But still, just, you know, Mercedes leapfrogged Ferrari this weekend. Mm-hmm. And McLaren, I think Piastri was just sort of struggling. And a rare occasion for Piastri to be struggling for the whole weekend. But I think, again, it comes down to tyres.
Yeah.
This track is very punishing, especially on the left side of the tyres, because that's the tyre that's, you know, on the outside of most of these long corners. And I think, especially as we saw it in qualifying, drivers would maybe push so hard in sector one and sector two and then lose a load of time in sector three and be way off a good qualifying lap because they push too hard and they overheated their tyres. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what Piastri, that's why he qualified further down the grid, because he just went a little bit too aggressive maybe in some stages. He's still trying to work out how to manage these tyres. So yeah, Piastri, unfortunately, not a good weekend for him or a good weekend for the Ferraris. And they're really struggling.
Well, the Ferraris, again, I think it's driver mistakes, but also obviously team mistakes. The strategy didn't work for them. But it was the incident at the beginning that I think it kind of threw both of them off for the rest of the race, because they've got told the team orders that they're both saying. Well, Charles come out and said the team orders were, you know, to manage the tyres at the start of the race. Carlos is saying it was to manage the tyres, but I think Charles was managing the tyres just a little bit too much. I'm going to make those moves. I'm quite disappointed with Charles, because Carlos really gave everything to Charles at Monaco so that he could win his home race. They realised, I think, quite quickly they weren't going to win this race, but they were aiming for the P4s. P4, maybe a podium, but P4, P5. So should Carlos have made that move on Charles? I'm like, oh, but it's his home race. He's always going to want to impress there. You know, he's going to want to impress because it's still not come out where he's going to go next season. But at the same time, don't fight your teammate if you've been given these team orders. But at the same time, all these things going through my head, because then I'm like, Charles should have been more forgiving because it is Carlos's home race. But then again, to counteract that, and you see I'm going crazy here, Hayden, because so many things going in my head, my brain at the minute, is then as a racing driver, you want to be number one. So why are you going to let your teammate go past? He really has to fight for that. And I think this is what we're seeing at Ferrari at the minute. Carlos is trying to prove himself, but Charles is trying to prove himself as number one driver. And it's causing a lot of chaos. And then again, they're getting annoyed with strategy. So they need to really iron out these problems and fix these issues. But Carlos is leaving. Is this going to be more difficult when Lewis comes in? Are we still going to see these problems? We don't know. But Ferrari really need to just calm down, get your strategy right, and get your drivers in order, and just be a team. I think Ferrari is known for having a massive fan base, and you know, Formula One is a team sport, but we're not seeing that team at Ferrari. It's like every man for themselves at the minute, and it's really not working well. Whereas in other teams, it works perfectly. Haas, okay, they're not fighting for championship points, but they have great team values, I think. And Red Bull, at the same time, as much as Max Verstappen is the number one driver, Perez is a great team player, but you just don't see that at Ferrari. And I think that's where it's going wrong.
Yeah, I think because there's not really too much for them to fight for, at least when they are in those positions. Charles is usually the one who is in that position to fight for the win or fight for the championship. So Charles is, I guess, in that sort of sense, hoping that Sainz will hold back and be like, okay, do you know what? Our best bet for a championship is me. Mm-hmm. So allow me to go for it. But, you know, we're not even at the halfway stage of this season. Things can change quickly. Ferrari can develop their car and can catch up to the Red Bull and catch up to the McLaren. So, and then Carlos Sainz could become the dominant driver in that car and challenge for the championship. Okay, that is a miracle scenario that I'm drawing up there. But, you know, it's still a possibility.
Yeah.
Unlikely, but still a possibility. And so these drivers aren't going to be, you know, around 10 of the season thinking, okay, you're the number one, you've got the best chance of the championship, off you go. Apart from the obvious, which is maybe Verstappen and Perez, and I suppose in the same sense, Norris and Piastri, because Piastri's still only in his second season.
Yeah.
And whilst, of course, he would love to fight for the championship, knows in this sort of sense that Lando's just got that edge in the races. He just knows how to manage those tyres just a little bit better. And, you know, we got a great qualifying in Monaco, got himself in a second, very difficult track to overtake there. Was very likely that he was going to finish on the podium ahead of Norris in that sort of sense. So apart from maybe those two, most drivers on the field at this stage are not going, okay, you're the better driver, mm-hmm. off you go. We're going to let you sort of take this on.
But you shouldn't take that mentality as a driver, you know. I mean, again, there's always two sides to the story, because if you are not leading the championship in comparison to your teammate, and as a team, you want to obviously impress your team to stay in the team, so you do have to sort of step back a little bit and go, okay, this person's above me in the points. The team need the points. They want this person to get whatever it is, wherever they are in the standing. So I do need to take that step back, because it's not me. But then as a racing driver, you should be aggressive. You should be fighting. You do want to show yourself off. Why should you take those steps back? Because that's going to affect you mentally in a race if you're like, oh, well, I'm not pushing as much. So you're going to relax and you don't want that. So it's super difficult. But again, I go back to team sport. That's the problem of a team sport. You have to compromise at times. But going to my predictions now, Hayden. I was one off. And okay, if you are commenting on our Instagram on WTF1, I talk to you guys in the comments on predictions, because I am smashing the predictions. But a few people were like, why did you put Carlos in there? Were you put him above Charles? Like, that was never going to happen. I was optimistic. I was super optimistic. It's his home race. I thought he was going to push. We did see him push, but wrong strategy. It didn't work for him. However, I got 4 out of 5. I don't know how I'm doing it. Well, no, I do know how I'm doing it. Realistic. I'm not going into the weekend.
No. Not realistic. Boring. That's what we did. I like to get the best results. You know, the fans are going to be happy with that one. Let's have some fun. Amber's like, Verstappen will win every race. Norris will come second every race.
It's true, but I go into it because then some people will just go off like, okay, Norris is a great driver. So yes, he's mm-hmm. going to have an amazing race and then he's going to get P1. I'm so sorry. Again, I'm being realistic. I'm going into the race thinking something is going to go wrong. Yes, he was on pole, but he ain't going to keep that. And maybe he could win, but it's going to be super difficult for him. Where it's not going to be difficult for Max. I don't believe he's going to have a difficult race. So I went into it. My predictions were right, but not with signs at the bottom. And it was like towards the end. I think it was only like 10 laps, or correct me if I'm wrong, there's only a few laps left towards the end of the race. Signs was above Leclerc, and I was there going, my predictions are correct. Oh my gosh, I'm smashing this. Get me a job as an F1 predictor. Someone pay me for this. But then, yeah, Leclerc came out on top. Obviously, he was on the soft, so he had the better strategy.
So yeah, Leclerc pipped Sainz. Therefore, you didn't get them all right. So therefore, you were wrong.
Hayden,
We were both wrong. We both didn't get all five right. We were both completely wrong, okay?
And how many did you get right? This weekend? Who went?
I got the top five correct.
Oh, yeah.
Just not in the right positions.
That is true.
Okay, I got one in the right position. And the other two just needed a switch. Because I was optimistic. Mm-hmm. And I keep on banging this drum that I want Lando to be winning the races so that he can catch up to Max in the championship. And then we have a battle. So I'm going to keep on saying it every week.
You will.
Lando or Charles, because they're the closest two. I think there's like 2-3 points between those two at the moment. They're the closest ones that can challenge Max. Mm-hmm. So if there's an opportunity, I'm putting them above Max just because that is what I want. It might not be what I maybe predict or what the realistically is going to happen.
Yeah.
But what I want to happen is us to have a championship fight.
Oh,
that's all I want.
No,
so I'll keep on banging that drum.
No, do you know what, Hayden? I love it. And I would love to see Lando get up there. Not even a Lando fan, but this year he's really been impressing me. Like, it's not as if I'm not a fan, but he's not like one of my favourites. But he's really been impressing me this season. So hopefully it'd be nice to just not see Max Verstappen win the Drivers' Championship. But who's impressed me?
Clearly you have the power. So if you have the power, you need to put Norris at the top and then he will win. Stop putting Verstappen up there.
That is so true.
And then somebody else will win, okay? Put Verstappen out of the top five just for 1 week. Next week, Austria, put him out of the top five and it will happen because you have the power. Okay.
I do. I am the Formula One prediction god at this point, but oh, I just don't know.
You're just writing the story. They're following what you write.
They are. Just okay? Not science.
So you need to put, yeah, not science, but you need to put Verstappen out of the top five just for this week, and then we're going to have a really good championship battle on our hands.
We'll see what mood I'm in for this race weekend.
Oh,
and then
great.
We'll see. We'll see how it plays out. But yeah, who's been impressing me? I mean, who impressed me this race 100% has to be my man, Lewis Hamilton. He's back. Mm. Well, I hope I'm not like ruining anything or jinxing anything at this point, but he is back. The one thing about Lewis Hamilton, which we've not seen because the car hasn't been there, or people say, you know, should he leave the sport and is it going to turn over a new leaf when he goes to Ferrari, or is it just going to be awful and it's just tick in the box that he drove for Ferrari and then he's out? Lewis, he's back because I think the car is finding the pace. He did struggle with the car. What can you do? If you're a driver that hasn't got a great car, that's not performing to its optimal performance, what are you going to do? You can't make up things. You can't just add parts to the car yourself. So now the car is in a stronger position. We're seeing Lewis Hamilton be the driver he always has been when he's performing to his best. Lewis is similar to Max, I think is similar to Alonso, is similar to the greats, that they are controlled, calm, but super defensive. They will attack and they will defend. And that's exactly what you need in a driver. And I'm so glad we're seeing this from Hamilton again, because we saw this in this race. Yes, he might make a few little mistakes, but he always comes back out on top. So I'm so happy to see Hamilton get on the podium. Super well deserved. But I was also thinking, there's been this speculation that Mercedes aren't, you know, giving Hamilton the better car anymore. They're favouring Russell because Hamilton's leaving. And then there was this whole drama that came out and an email got leaked. The same email, apparently, with the Christian Horner drama. In my head, I was thinking, maybe some of the suspicions were true. And then this week they were like, oh, we'll give him the better car. So people stopped talking about it. But I don't want to believe that.
The thing with Lewis Hamilton is, and I feel like it's been like this throughout his whole career, the first half of the season, for the majority of seasons, he puts his feet up. He just chills. Mm-hmm. He's still good, but he just chills a little bit. And in the second half of the season, it's like, okay, right, get the slippers off. Let's go to work. Let's go and do what I need to do. And he's usually a lot better over that second half of the season. All this speculation and all this abuse that the team has got, I think it's just ridiculous and stupid. And I am team LH. You know, I love Lewis Hamilton. You know, I've been in that camp, but I'm embarrassed to be a Lewis Hamilton fan when you look at the stuff that goes down on social media and all that stuff, because it's just too far and it's just stupid. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think it's just stupid in some sense, because if you really think about it, in what sense is a team going to prioritize the driver that is leaving over the driver that's going to be doing more for them in the next season?
Yep.
They want to build that car around George Russell in order to have a car that he is comfortable with in 2025. Why would they build it around Lewis Hamilton? You know, he's not going to be driving that car next year. Mm-hmm. So if you think about it, take your conspiracy theory hats off and just put on an actual brain and think about mm-hmm. it. They're obviously going to prioritise Russell in every sense. And looking at social media and saying why they put Russell's name first instead of Hamilton, they all hate Hamilton. It's just stupid, all right? You're
it's
just picking at things.
Yeah.
It's just childish, it's petty. We're better than that. We are better than that. Lewis Hamilton is an incredible driver and he will continue to show that. And yes, okay, Russell's probably most likely going to be prioritised with strategy. Maybe if they have to choose between one or two cars in terms of what the parts go on, of course that's going to go over to George Russell. He's going to be the test whether he likes it because he is the future. Yes, they're relying on Lewis Hamilton for the experience and the expertise to give him better help, but he's fully invested in the team still. You hear it over the team radio when he's on the podium. He's like, yes, that's an improvement. That's a step forward. Mm-hmm. This is good. Let's keep pushing, guys. Like, if you're leaving a team and you've given up, you've quiet quit, you're not going to be bothered about doing that. You're just going to be like, okay, cheers, guys. Thanks for the car this weekend. That was good. Like, you don't care because you're leaving them. But he still cares about Mercedes. He still wants to do the best for them.
Yeah.
And they, of course, still care about Lewis Hamilton. But they're always going to prioritise George because he is the future.
It's not in Lewis's nature to, I think, back down. You know, it's not in Lewis's nature to just go, oh, yeah, whatever. But at the same time, I don't think any Formula One driver should do that because then you just don't look great for another team. Why would another team be like, oh, he's leaving, he's really given up, or she's really given up, let's bring them into our team? Because then they're not going to bring anything if we drop them and then they stop helping us towards the end of the season. So you don't want that as any Formula One driver, but especially not Lewis Hamilton. Even if he knows he's going to Ferrari and hopefully it's a great decision, he's never gonna stop. He's got so many haters as well. It would not be the best decision for Lewis Hamilton, relax, because then everyone would be jumping on his back, being like, oh, see, he needs to get out of Formula One. He has that anyway. So I'm hoping when he goes to Ferrari, the strategy gets better. There's no arguments with Charles. Obviously, there's going to be a few driver incidents, but there's no massive arguments with Charles. And he can prove himself to all those haters and maybe go for another world champion.
Fingers crossed, that'll be lovely to see in the red colours. Another team that impressed me this weekend, Alpine, really, really been progressing so far this season. We're in the mud at the start of the year, right down at the bottom. And now I'd say they're ahead of the back market five teams. And even getting a little bit closer to the likes of the top guys in terms of qualifying. Ahead of the Aston Martins, like they've jumped the Aston Martin fully this weekend. Aston Martin were nowhere to be seen. Fernando Alonso managed to recover back to 12th. Mm-hmm. Lance Stroll was down in 14th. Zhou Guanyu beat Lance Stroll. But yeah, Esteban Ocon and Pierre Gasly both in the points. Double point score. I didn't expect that. I expected one of them to score points, but one of them to fall out from it. And maybe a Fernando Alonso just to take a point there. But Alpine have really come back and could be a development team to watch over the rest of the season. That, okay, do you know what? We've completely scrapped our concept from last year. We are starting fresh. We're starting new. But this projection that we see across the year is going to get us to where we need to be. And they've impressed me.
Yeah, I think now we have to go into the start of a season like, okay, maybe these teams aren't performing great and these teams are, and you have to go into it going, this could change whenever. Once you hit mid-season, everyone's sort of found their feet with what's working for their car and what's not working. You know, the teams bring different upgrades all the time. The Aston Martins didn't bring any upgrades for this race, so I think that's what really hindered them. If they brought more upgrades, potentially it could have been a better race for them. But whatever Alpine are doing, keep doing it. It's clearly working for them. You know, to see them in qualifying and see how they're performing in the race, I thought, what's gone on here? This is not normal. They've definitely found some sort of magic. So hopefully they can be consistent with this and take that forward. But what a shame for Esteban Ocon, really, because see you later, Esteban, if the team are coming up and now they've got rid of him, it's not great. So it's quite unfortunate. And it would have been quite nice to have, you know, keep that French lineup, keep that French team all consistent, but we'll see how it goes for them.
Yeah, something clearly hasn't been working behind the scenes. And I guess that's why Ocon as being the one to get the boot. They potentially see more Gasly, but Gasly hasn't been announced either, so maybe it'd be a complete change at the team for next season. But for now, you can kind of expect that maybe Gasly's going to be staying, especially as he's been given a bit more of the priority over Esteban Ocon so far in the last couple of races. But yeah, really, really impressive from those two and from the team. And yeah, let's see how they can progress. I think going any further might be a bit more difficult. I think they can become a regular point scorer, but in terms of going further up the grid and leapfrogging the likes of a Ferrari, a Mercedes, a McLaren, or a Red Bull, I think is maybe it's a little bit too far-fetched.
Yeah.
But they could potentially overtake Aston Martin in the Constructors' Championship. Yeah, okay, Alonso scored a good amount of points for the first half of the season, but now both drivers looking like they're outside of the top 10, and if that car doesn't progress over the year, they're going to be in trouble. So, yeah, it's definitely something to watch out for over the rest of the season. Let's head into a break. Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals such as job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/seller. That is linkedin.com/seller for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/seller and get started. Right, Amber, before we get into our hot takes of the week, who was your driver of the weekend? Who impressed you the most?
Oh, I think I am going to stick with Lando on this one, because he did put in, you know, great performance across the weekend. What happened at the start, you know, people are still looking into it, the team looking into it. Lando came out after and said, doesn't really know what happened. He's not going to say, oh, it was me. So even if it was him, but we'll see, you know, if it really was a massive driver error, there's a lot of pressure on him. Potentially something went wrong there. The car was strong, and he was strong at the other side of the race, I think. So he just could not beat Max. It wasn't going to happen, but I think he's really showing himself, and he showed it to me in this race. I thought, wow, Lando is seriously one to watch. Of control, tyre management, it's difficult at Barcelona, but the tyre management, it's one of his strong points as a driver, but it's super hard to get that right at this track anyway. So I think that's why I would say Lando, because he does always seem quite chill. And even when the team give him some orders, he is there questioning it. He doesn't just take them and go, yeah, yeah, we'll do that. Whereas I think other drivers do that. He knows where his strengths lie. So if they give him an order and he's like, that's not going to happen, he won't do it. So that's why I think Lando impressed me. He's my driver of the day.
I'm going to go down the grid and I'm going to shout out my boy, Joe Granu, in the Kick Sauber car. I just think that it's been difficult for him in recent weeks. He's come out and said that the car he's been a lot more comfortable in the car this weekend, and they've made changes for this weekend, and it's suiting him a lot better now. And that certainly showed. Qualifying against Bottas is still, I'd say, his weaker point. Bottas usually tends to have the upper hand in qualifying, but you know, they both got out of Q1 this time, which is an achievement for the Kick team, for the Sauber team. So that's good for them. But then in race pace again, and I think this has been a consistency across the season, Zhou's tended to be better on race pace than Bottas this season. And again, it showed beating one of the Aston Martins of Lance Stroll, and was behind Fernando Alonso and Nico Hülkenberg, only two places away from the points, really. So I think an impressive weekend from him. And I hope that this kind of continues for the team, that they can, you know, try and just scrape a few points, because it's been difficult for both drivers, sadly, and especially going in towards the Audi project in a couple of years' time. It'll be good for them to, you know, be able to fight for points and be in that mix with the other team. So for me, I'm going for for sure.
I'd love to see Sauber up there, honestly. I just love to see them in the points. So it's quite sad now they're sort of dropping back, especially with the Alpines jumping up. It's making everyone look more at Sauber and Williams towards the bottom end of the grid. I hope they do something, they find something, get those upgrades, whatever it is. They've got two great drivers there. I'd love to see them higher up.
Who's your biggest stinker then of the week? Who had the biggest stinker?
Oh, biggest stinker. That's a hard one, Aiden, because I think this weekend...
There's so many stinkers. Is that why? So many people had stinkers.
This weekend, everyone's eyes were on the top six because that's where all the battles were happening. So there was less coverage on anyone sort of behind that. So for me, I don't know whether I stay within the top six of Carlos having a stinker, but not really because he did well. It just was too much. If I'm going to go... more towards the bottom end of the grid. I mean, Alonso didn't have a great weekend. Piastri didn't do amazing. So do I go for Piastri? I feel so harsh. But maybe Piastri, because he was doing so well in the past few races and this just wasn't his race at all. He was struggling. He struggled in quali. So I'm going to go with Piastri on this one.
Piastri was someone I was thinking about, to be fair, and I think it's a fair choice. I think it's fair to be critical of this weekend more than others. He is still having that issue with tyre management, and it is something he needs to overcome in order to be a top driver. The pace certainly is there, but when it happens at a track where qualifying is also important, and because of the tyre management and the mistake in qualifying puts him down in P10, puts him on the back foot already. He did recover to P7 and was sort of like the best of the rest and still ahead of Sergio Perez in that sort of sense. But still, yeah, the tyre management is something that needs to be looked at and improved upon. And I think it's fair to put him potentially in that sort of stinker range. I'm going to look at teams, and it's a choice really between three. Aston Martin dropping the ball again, dropping down the field. RB also had a really weak weekend. Yeah. You know, they've had some good, strong performances in recent times with Yuki Tsunoda and Daniel Ricciardo scoring points. But then right down at the back, okay, Ricciardo recovered down up to P15. I think that was a good drive for him. Yuki Tsunoda, not a good race, a race to forget for Yuki Tsunoda for sure. But also Williams as well, another team that was on the rise, had a strong performance in Canada, but then... you know, of course, had that incident with Sainz and Sargeant having his own incident, and then, you know, now being at the back, and I've potentially got to go for them. I think I will go for Williams, and it feels like it's just picking the easy one because they're right at the back. But I think they've shown potential to be up there, and unfortunately have hit a snake and have come all the way down the board again.
I think with Williams, it's because they said that they're trying to build this all-rounder car, and Barcelona is the perfect track to test that out. So, you know, it's got a range of different variables that will test your car. If it's an all-rounder, you should be doing good at Barcelona. Although, yes, there's lots of long straights. So if your aerodynamics are better in the car, then you're going to have a bit of an enhancement there. But I think that's what it's shown, is they haven't got that all-rounder car yet. Doesn't mean that they can't get it. And, you know, it's still... only midway through the season, so let's see what happens the rest of the season. But that's why I think it's really showing them in quite a bad light at the minute. You know, they're not happy with Sargeant. The car's not where it should be. We thought it was, and it's kind of dropping back. I think they started off sort of okay and looked quite promising, and now they're slowly dropping backwards. It's like, oh, and then one day or one race, Albon will be in the points, and the next minute he's not, and it's just very up and down. There's no consistency, I think, with Williams, so... that's the problem, I'd say, with Williams. But again, with the Aston Martins, I completely agree with you, because they're another team that are not consistent at all. Why didn't they bring upgrades? What was the reason for that? You know, did they think the car was in a better place and they could just carry on the way that it was? These teams really need to get a handle of what they're doing, and it's difficult. So I hope there is some improvements, but I think that's why we're pinpointing them.
We've not got a lot of time to get back up and run again. We're in the middle now of a triple header. It's race week once again, and we're going to talk all things Austrian Grand Prix later on in the week when we talk about our Grid Rival Fantasy Show podcast. So make sure you listen to that one, and you can hear us talk about all our preview and our predictions ahead of that race.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
But for now, let's get into one of our favorite parts of the week. And it is, of course, Hot Takes of the Week. This is the part of the show where you guys at home tell us your spiciest takes. And it's up to myself and Amber to debate them and really dissect them and work out if they are actually spicy takes at all. Let's get into the first one. And this comes in from at MaxSL. And they say, if Antonelli is brought into Williams this year, he is going to struggle to a similar degree to Sargent right now. He's too young, his inexperience will be clear, and he just needs more time in F2.
Wow.
What do you think, Amber?
This, I think, is quite a popular hot take. Although you will have a lot of people backing Antonelli, there is a lot of people not backing Antonelli because it's that reason. Why are you bringing him in if he's not dominating Formula 2? You know, why is he the star driver for these teams? What's going on? What are they seeing that we're not seeing? But I do think if he came into the Williams, it's going back to our chat we've had in the podcast. The Williams aren't there. So you can bring in an experienced driver and they're going to struggle with the Williams. So if you bring in an inexperienced driver, it's going to be 10 times harder for them to get up to grips because they're learning about, you know, tracks potentially not been to before, or they're getting used to it because it's a whole different car, a whole different setup. So even if they race there, they have to sort of strip back everything because they need to get used to how this car performs. I don't think Williams would be great for Antonelli. Antonelli, I think, is a good talent, but he would show that off in a car that's more consistent, one that he can rely on, one that's got the pace. How can you expect a driver to come into a team where the car's not really performing well? Because they're still just getting to grips with it, and there's nothing wrong with that. Give Williams time to work their way up and hopefully get a stronger car. But I agree with this hot take. I think it would be bad if Antonelli came in because he's not going to show what he's got. And we see this with rookies time and time again. When they come into these teams that are at the bottom end of the grid, they do struggle and then they do make a bad name for themselves. And then it's harder to get back into F1 if they're out of F1. Logan Sargeant could be a strong driver. You know, I know there's a lot of people that might not agree with that opinion, but he could be, you know, put him in a different car. Maybe he is. Of course, you don't get to Formula One if you're a bad driver. You know, he's had great performances in other racing series. So is it the car that's the issue? But you'd only know that if you put them in a stronger car. And I think that's exactly what would happen with Antonelli. Then if you flip that, and if he goes to Mercedes, is that too much pressure? You know, is it, yes, a car that's getting better now, it's performing 10 times better, we're seeing a lot of optimism and the team are feeling optimism for that car. If you put him in that, is it too much pressure? Because then if he underperforms and he's got a great car, it reflects really badly on him. So it's difficult for rookies, but I do think Antonelli shouldn't go to that Williams seat.
Yeah, I mean, if there's no need for him to go to it, unless Mercedes want to put him in Williams first before Mercedes for 2025, then, you know, you're not going to say no. You're not going to say, no, I'm not ready for that opportunity. Yeah. Let me wait a little bit longer. I mean, F2, I feel like that Prema team is struggling quite a bit. Again, not a strong weekend for either driver. You look at the standings, Antonelli's 48 points, he's ninth in the standings. But Oliver Bearman, who a lot of people are hyping up, like giving so much hype to Oliver Bearman, he deserves an F1 seat for next season, is down in 17th in that championship with 18 points. And I don't think it's solely down to drivers. Yes, okay, F2's a spec series, but there are differences in terms of the cars slightly. But also, in terms of how much development time and practice that they get in the running. If you believe that F2 is fully spec series, then you're just wrong. Because it's not. Like, there are teams that are slightly better than others. And yeah, it looks like Prema just really struggling with this new version of the Formula 2 car. So, you know, he's not really, in that sort of sense, living up to the hype that everyone was building him up coming into this F2 season, because he's struggling. Yes, he's doing better than his teammate, which is important. You're always going to be judged against your teammates, so as long as you're beating them, you're in a good position. But, you know, going to the Williams, I don't think there is pressure. I still don't think there is pressure in that sort of sense that Mercedes already fully believe and back you, that they're putting you in the Williams, you know, half a season early to then put you in the Mercedes. I think then that's a chance to be like, okay, in this season for Williams, and Williams used to be really, really good at this. I remember reading Jenson Button's book about Williams, that he was just told, you make a mistake out there, it's fine. Like, this is your season to go and make mistakes. Like, we're not going to have a go at you. As long as you learn from your mistakes, go and make mistakes. And I think that's kind of the half a season that Mercedes will be wanting Kimi Antonelli to have, is just to continue to mature and to make those mistakes, that when he's ready to jump into the Mercedes, most of those mistakes, those very easy rookie mistakes, or those very easy mistakes you make in your first few races, are kind of ironed out, and he's ready to be, you know, in that Mercedes car. But again, there's no pressure in that Mercedes. If he goes and beats George Russell or is on par with George Russell, then it's a case of like, damn, this is a great talent. If he doesn't, then it's a case of like, he's still in his first year, it's okay. And that's kind of what we see with Oscar Piastri. Oscar Piastri can go and match Lando, but we speak about it before, that his tyre management issues are apparent and they're very clear. But we don't go, Oscar Piastri needs to be out of the sport, he's not good enough, he doesn't cut it, get rid of him. No, he's shown the pace, he's shown that he can match him, but there's issues there that we need to work on, and that will make him a better driver. And I think that's the case of putting him into the Mercedes. Yes, okay, he might not be able to beat Russell throughout the season, but if he matches him here and there and shows improvement, then it's a case of, this is a good place for him to be, and the pressure's kind of off.
Yeah, because I think they like to see how their drivers perform, obviously before they get into a Mercedes seat, how they perform in a car maybe that is more difficult. But I think it's less so pressure from the teams, because like you say, I think Williams and Mercedes are quite open with that, and they're not super hard hitting on their drivers unless they really need to be. It's that outside pressure that can get to the driver, can really affect them mentally, because everyone's like, they don't deserve to be here, they shouldn't be in the sport. You know, Logan Sargeant, I'm quite glad they gave him a few years. You know, it's not just 1 year and go. They've given him that second chance, obviously, in the Williams to sort of prove himself. But then there does get to a point where it's like, oh, okay, you know, you're not proving yourself. I think the team will be giving him slight pressure, just a little bit. And they are open, you know, James Vowles says it. The members will come out and say, you know, he's not where he should be, he's not performing as well, and obviously in comparison to Albon. So I just don't want Antonelli to come into the sport and just have all this pressure and negative press around him. That's just the one thing I hate to see with the rookies. Some rookies, okay, you just don't cut it, so yes, you're out. Unfortunately, you got here, you were given the chance, it didn't work out. But other rookies, it's like, oh, what a shame. Bring back Mick Schumacher. I'd love to see what he can do, but I just don't see that happening at all.
Well, he's been tested this week, apparently, by Alpine at the French Grand Prix circuit, Le Castellet. I think it's him and Doohan are doing testing, and it's basically a head-to-head between those two.
I just think Doohan's going to get
so
it.
So maybe we're going to see Mick Schumacher back.
I would love to.
Which I would love to see. I think he was hard done by at the end of his season. I think he was performing better than Magnussen at the end of the season, but the car wasn't where it was at the start of the season when Magnussen was scoring all the points. But yeah, let's see whether that sort of comes back. But coming back to this hot take, do I think it's a spicy hot take? Yes, I think there'll be a lot of people for and against it. I'm against it. I disagree. I think, you know, I don't think there's ever a case that drivers are too young. You look at Max Verstappen, you know, he was one of the youngest drivers. He is the youngest driver to have ever gone in Formula One. And yes, made a lot of mistakes. But look at where he is now, because he went through that and he made the mistakes. I think you've got to allow it sometimes. You've got to allow these young drivers to be young drivers, to be immature, to make mistakes, to be able to allow them to mature early. And so for me, I think if there is a talent that you see a lot of potential in, you do want to get them in as early as you possibly can so that you can train them up on a Formula One car. Training someone up on a Formula 2 car, yes, okay, it's a stepping stone. But if you can train someone up on a Formula 1 car, then it's going to be a whole lot better, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Certain points I definitely agree with. I'm going to go with a 3 on this hot take, Hayden, because I think there's two sides, you know, of the coin for this one. Some people agree and some people disagree. And I think I'm more on the air of I don't want to see him go to Williams because of all that external outside noise and pressure and whatever it is. Social media has made things 10 times worse. So I'm going to go for a 3 for this hot take.
I'll go for a 4. It's spicy and I disagree with it. So let's get on to the next one. Next hot take. This one comes in from at Buster's Skull. They say McLaren getting closer each week to RB. Just a matter of time before they are properly fighting it out for the race wins.
Oh, I think so. I mean, we've had this chat at the start of the podcast. You know, the McLarens are catching up to the Red Bull and we're seeing this now, which is great. And Lando is a driver that you can rely on. You know, he's having a few struggles, but I think that's sort of team and car struggles as well, not just his own driver struggles. So I think they're slowly catching the Red Bulls. And we're seeing something now where there is a slight weakness. And whether it's just because McLaren are getting stronger or there is an actual problem in the Red Bull team, there's something going on where McLaren have just found that sweet spot. They need to get Piastri being a little bit more consistent because, again, he's a great driver. And then you've got your two drivers fighting. Only Max Verstappen at this point, because Perez, where are you? Perez is somewhere else, you know, getting penalties, not performing well in qualifying. So at this point, they're kind of going up against Max Verstappen, which is great if you had two against one. So if we still see these little problems that Red Bull are having, hopefully McLaren will get closer. So I agree on this hot take, I think. I think it's quite a nice hot take because I think it might happen. But Max has the upper hand for now, just because it's going back to all my points that I've said before. He is just way more consistent.
I think they're already there in terms of fighting for race wins. I mean, this race weekend kind of proved that McLaren was the faster car, because if you looked at like the deficits, every single time in every stint after the first one, Lando caught up to Verstappen and closed the gap. And had George Russell not have existed, then I think Lando and Max would have fought it out for the win. And who would have come out on top? I don't know. But at least they're fighting for the race wins. I think they would have been there 100% for sure. And I think that's why I'm excited for the rest of the season. They just need to get over those small mistakes. And that's just experience. And it's sort of similar to the point before that Max has had a lot more time. He came into the sport early. He's been there since 2015. You know, that's nearly 10 years of learning and being experienced and being able to pick your fights and put your car in the right position, put his car in the right position on the inside, that even with Russell sweeping around the outside, it was realistically up to Norris to back out of that, being in the middle, because had he not, then the three of them would have come together. And you know, it could have been similar to Qatar in the sense that it was just Russell and Lando that comes together. Max is just laughing as he drives through turn two and three as his rivals are off in the gravel trap. So you know, that's Lando's sort of task now, I suppose, over the rest of the season, is to build up the experience, try and iron out those small mistakes. But he's definitely got a lot better, that he picks and chooses battle. He doesn't just go full send all the time, holds back a little bit. And yeah, I think there's very strong performances in there. And I think the way the cars are, McLaren and Red Bull, very equal, I believe. It could be track dependent. Some tracks Red Bull could be quicker, some tracks McLaren could be quicker, but I think we are there where they are fighting out for race wins each week.
Well, with Norris now second in the driver standings, so sorry Charles Leclerc, I'm actually really sad to see him go up. But then it's quite nice because it is showing that there is some sort of battle going on. So 100%, I think they're getting closer and closer each race weekend, so hopefully we'll have a nice battle. Formula One is getting interesting again. Everyone's kicking off that, you know, it's boring. It was a boring start to the season. And now it's really, really giving. So this hot take for me, Hayden, I agree with it. So then again, I don't know how spicy it is, but maybe I'll put it at a 4 because I like this hot take.
I'm going the opposite way just because it's not, I wouldn't say it's that spicy. I think from the evidence, it's clear that yes, they are fighting for race wins. I think from the evidence that we have seen in terms of pace of both cars, they can both fight each other for race wins. I think that's going to happen over the course of the season, unless Red Bull bring up some upgrades and they just run clear again. But yeah, so I'm going to go
the opposite way.
So I can harsh and go 1? Yeah, well, I'm going the opposite way. It's either 1 or 2 because I think it's just an obvious. I'm actually gonna go 1 because I fully agree with it, and I just think that the evidence is already there that they are fighting. So I don't think it's a hot take that McLaren.
It's just facts.
are probably fighting it out for race wins. I think it is facts. I think they are. As long as if Lando got a better start and held on to first, or Max got past him and Russell didn't get past either of them and was not in that frame at all, it would have been those two fighting out for the race win. Who would have got it? You know, I can't predict that, but it would have been between those two for the race win. And I think, sadly, whilst Russell made a great overtake into turn one, kind of actually robbed us of a fight for the race win, sadly. But yeah, so that's why I'm rating it a
one. No, I get it. I'm just here for the vibes and the energy of this hot take. So that is why it's a four for me. I'm like, yes, let's see this battle this season. It's what we're living for.
Last hot take of this week. This one comes in from @Clueless Pilaka. I think that is. Lewis signing for Ferrari might be the worst thing to happen for Ferrari. Lewis and Charles.
Oh,
and no. I believe this is more alluding to the fan bases. We've already seen it with Mercedes and what has happened in the recent weeks, where they've been getting a lot of hate because of even just putting George's name before Lewis's has really, really ruffled feathers. If you want to anger some specific parts of the Team LH Brigade, call it George and Lewis. Don't call it Lewis and George, because they will come for you, as they have done in emails. But yeah, so that's what it's sort of alluding to. And then Charles has a big fan base as well. You know, there's a lot of Charles Leclerc fans. So it could be a case of, you know, we've seen it sort of, I suppose, with Charles and Carlos, those two fighting at Spain. Surely that's going to be the same, because neither Lewis or Charles Leclerc will want to be a number two driver to the other one. And then that's going to just be exaggerated even more in the fan bases. So it could be a difficult thing for not only manage the drivers, but manage the fan bases too.
I think so. And I said this on last week's pod, actually, because Ferrari have this issue, and I think some teams like to say they have a number one driver and some teams don't, and it's more secretive and you kind of just have to guess as a fan. And it's obvious, but they're not actually saying it out loud. I think Ferrari, that's what happens. They don't openly say Charles is our number one driver, but you kind of know sometimes he gets favored with the setups, upgrades, whatever it is. So when Lewis comes into the mix, who is the number one driver? Are they going to favor Charles because he's been with the team for longer? Or are they going to favour the GOAT, Lewis Hamilton? That's what the issue is going to be. Lewis is aggressive as a driver, but he's also controlled. So he is going to make those moves. I think we're going to see so many battles between Charles and Lewis, because, again, like we saw this weekend, Charles is not going to take it lightly of his teammate trying to come up against him. He is going to want to be number one. That's the problem, and that's what I'm really scared for, because I love Ferrari, although something needs to change in that team. I love Ferrari. I'm a massive Charles fan. I'm a massive Lewis fan. And I'm really scared to see them come head to head. But I just think it's going to happen. You've got two strong characters there. Lewis is a very strong character as well, and gets a lot of hate against him for being so outspoken. And he's got a lot to prove when he comes to Ferrari. And I just think now, I didn't see this at the start of the season. When it got announced, I was like, oh my gosh, this is the lineup that is perfect. We've all been waiting for this to happen. It's going to come and save Ferrari, but now it's getting quite apparent that it could be chaotic, and that's what I'm really scared for.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that I've kind of disagreed with since it was announced, and this is coming from somebody who cannot wait to see Lewis Hamilton in red in Ferrari. Like, I cannot wait for it to happen, but at the same time, you sort of look at, okay, you've already got Carlos Sainz and Charles Leclerc, who are two strong performing drivers. Yes, okay, I think Lewis coming to there on paper, you look on it and you say, okay, that is the strongest lineup that is on the grid for any team. But yeah, was it the right call to get rid of Carlos? Is Carlos still performing well? Yes. So that's a question mark at the same time. Then you've got the fan bases, they're going to be at each other, and you've got two number one drivers, which you already really have at Ferrari. But now you've got another lot of two number one drivers who are going to be at each other, and they're going to be fighting. And who knows, it might play out that Charles Leclerc dominates Lewis Hamilton, and it's quite obvious that it goes one way.
But then I think that if it's the same as it is now, where they're both fighting each other, I think obviously Lewis Hamilton is a stronger driver than Sainz, so it's going to be even worse when it comes in, because it's like, oh, Charles really has to defend his position if he wants to keep podiums or wins or whatever. Lewis has shown in this race, he will just sneak past you whenever he can, whenever he sees an opportunity. he is going to push you off track. You know, if it still stays within the rules and regulations, he is going to squeeze past you. So we're going to see that a lot at Ferrari. And if they get the car back to race winning positions, because it sort of was nearly there and now it's going back down again, if they get back to that, it's just going to be chaos. Because if they both have the power and the car is super strong and reliable, got two great drivers, what is going to happen? Lewis is not going to be happy for P2s. Charles, I think, will accept P2s at times, but then if Lewis is always winning, it's going to be chaos. So I'm scared, excited, nervous. Every single emotion that's going through anybody, I'm going to have that when Lewis joins the team.
I think it's all going to come down to really 2026 and engine and whether they've got it right with engines. I think Ferrari can close the gap next season. I think it's going to be a similar to a 2013, which I suppose is probably the wrong season to grab because Sebastian Vettel did dominate that at the end. But maybe more towards, I don't know, 2021, I suppose then, just before a big regulation change where the cars are a lot closer and we see more variation of drivers winning races and on the podium. I do think Ferrari will close that gap and the cars will just come even closer before then those regulation changes, and then whoever gets it right, it's spread out again, and this is the team that's got it right, this is the team that's got it wrong, and all the teams are kind of filtered in the middle. But I do think for 2025 it's going to be a lot closer. That pool of teams, the gaps are going to be closer, and I do think Ferrari do have a chance for fighting for race wins next season again, and maybe even a better chance. But yeah, what is going to happen within the team? Lewis isn't going to hold back. Charles isn't going to hold back. And I think it's going to be a tricky one to manage. But it's not necessarily impossible because, of course, it has happened in the past, especially with Lewis. You know, Lewis has had a lot of strong teammates in the past. You know, he had it with Fernando Alonso in his first season. He had it with Nico Rosberg, you know, in the Mercedes years, that both drivers were very similarly matched and both wanted to be on top. Okay, it's different when you've got two drivers who are in the dominant car compared to two drivers that are in a car that can fight for race wins. So how's it going to play out? I don't know. Is it the worst thing to happen for Ferrari? Probably not, because shares went up quite considerably when it was announced. So it was actually a good thing to happen for Ferrari as a brand. Will it be difficult to manage? Maybe, maybe not. We'll just have to wait and see how it all plays out. Lewis is a more experienced driver, an elder driver now that you know might be above those sort of mind games and pettiness. Or maybe he's not. Maybe he's going to be full petty and going to be like, this is my team now. You stay over there, Charles. You sit in the corner with your little notebook.
Oh, gosh, Hayden, it might be chaos. I'm looking forward to it, I think. But yeah, it's going to be difficult, I think. It's going to be a difficult period for them to both get used to. So we'll see.
What are we rating this hot take then? Is it the worst thing that could happen for Ferrari? I think it's a spicy take. I think there's a lot of people that would debate it. I think maybe a 4 for me.
So Hayden, I'm going to rate this hot take 4, because it's not super spicy, but I just think it's really chaotic, and the anxiety that it's given me is completely out of this world if it is mental when Lewis Hamilton makes that move to Ferrari. So it's a 4 for me. You never know what's going to happen. It's Formula One. Anything can happen. Anything can change. So I like this hot take, but you've sent me lots of anxiety when you sent this one in.
Well, there we go. That's going to wrap up this week's hot takes of the week. And thank you for everyone for sending in your hottest takes. Make sure you send in yours next week on Twitter, on Facebook. Get them in at WTF1 on socials, and we will react to them. We will pick some of the best, and we will react to them next week. That's going to do for this week's podcast on the Spanish GP. Remember, if you want to listen to what we think about the Austrian Grand Prix coming up, there will be a podcast later in the week tied in with our Fantasy F1 show as well. So make sure you listen to that one. But for today, for now, myself and Amber, thank you very much for listening to us, and we'll see you on the next one. Bye-bye.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.